What's up with it? GLA Double Dollar Sign East Side. That's right, Glasses Malone. And you checking out the Born Leaders podcast. Born Leaders, nigga. Not boss, leaders, nigga.
Westside, California palm trees, candy paint homies, rock box with bomb ones, car full of hoes, yeah. Dipping down the back streets, stash rocks for the breeze, take that killer heat, Born Leaders on the streets.
Do you feel that you get the credit you deserve?
It's better to be overrated than underrated than overcredited. So I think the more I work at it, I'll get, you know, Tupac Must Die was the start of me finally starting to get my credit. Mm-hmm. And I think the more I walk in that space, everything else I did will be credited as long as I keep marching in the right direction of trying to break the mold that is hip-hop.
Okay. Are you still doing the Blue Division label thing?
Yeah, that never stopped, but I just changed the name. Blue Division is kind of, it was always just me. Mm. Everybody else got down with it, but really it was just me, and it was a part of Black Wall Street, so it was always going to be like this limited thing. Division Movie Company is my new company, and it's just more of like a full service to artists. Like, okay. It's like right now I'm working with the LA Giants, Joe West and Deuce Mac, okay. Joey Westside and Deuce Mac. And
shout out to Joey.
Yeah, and like just really marketing their label and marketing their art. I don't want to sign nobody. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to just supply. Like, I want this company to really deliver people's vision for their own companies correctly. So particularly for their company, you know, I want to help them. It's a movie company, so I want to make sure we help people see the film that you're trying to, you know, mm-hmm. present to them, and we should make sure people see it. So I'm working with them. I'm working with a female group called Foursome. I mean, we're doing that together. And whatever I can do, you know what I'm saying? Whoever wants my assistance or you know, my years of knowledge and successes and failures, shit, if you want to get that experience or anything, I'm available.
Do you think rappers need to sign the labels nowadays?
Most of them do.
Why do you think that?
Okay, it just depends. Like, most of them lying about how much money they making. Mm-hmm. The ones who making some money sign labels. The handful that's not, you know, there are very special circumstances. Mozzie is one of the few. You know what I'm saying? That's like just this unbelievable talent that doesn't need a record company. But the rest of them, they probably need a record company. Mm-hmm. Especially if you make records. Like, if you making jams, if you making that shit that you want people to play, you know, that's where the record company kill at. Now, if you Joyner Lucas, yeah. No. I always told, like, Joyner don't need no damn record
company. You already got the fan base. And
it's not that. It's art is bigger than just records.
Oh, okay.
Some people, art is records. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Should I think most West Coast artists need to sign a Mustard?
Why is that?
Because it's a producer game in hip-hop. It's a producer's game in hip-hop. You know, the reason the West Coast was on fire back in the 90s because you had 5 or 6 multi-platinum producers at that time. You had Dr. Dre. You know, you had Quick. You had Battle Cat. You had Warren. You know what I'm saying? You had Hutch.
Yes.
You know, you had Daz. You know, you had a lot of motherfuckers that was cranking hits out. And so you can go to them and get a hit. Right now, if you're from the West, you can only go to Mustard. You're going to have to fly to New York and fuck with Hit-Boy, and he's going to have to take time away from Nas album to fuck with you, and that just
that might be tough.
That's Nas, okay?
Nigga just got a Grammy from a Nas album. He's like, fuck, nah, don't produce his shit. Come over here. He's going to be looking at you, and that's my little bro, so we've been talking about working forever, but how you pry a nigga away from Nas?
Yeah.
Like, nigga, you probably like, nigga. Grammy, nigga, it's Nas, nigga.
Do you think radio play is important right now? In 2021?
If you make records, you make records.
But I mean, everybody make playlists on their phones nowadays. Like, do you ever listen to the radio?
Yeah, sure, sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If I get in Glasses Malone car, what are you playing?
Black Superman on repeat.
Mm.
I bought a lot over and over again.
Okay.
Big Timers, I Got That Work.
That's a classic.
I was looking at you and waiting for you to say that.
Yeah.
What else I've been looping? I'm always playing Dub C, the Shadiest One. Okay. I always find some time for Dub C, the Shadiest One. I played 2001 the other day, Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm. More West Coast shit. You know, a little bit of, don't get me wrong, I've dabbled in the Untouchable, but I'm just in a different creative space right now. So I don't really want to ingest a lot of stuff that ain't, that don't feel like the West.
Yeah.
Like one of the, you know, the records I play the most on I Got That Work, Big Timers, is Number One Stunner, which is kind of our type of shit. So I've really been focused on the greatest albums from the West. I've been playing Blue Carpet Treatment a lot more lately than ever before. Crazy. Rest in peace, Nate Dogg. Mm-hmm. You know, really just, you know, stepping on the court, because I'm stepping back on the court right now and I'm starting to get in the game and I'm warming up. Yeah, I'm just looking at the best niggas that played. I'm not looking at these niggas playing now, because these niggas is all, you know, with all due respect, these niggas is all Chris Middleton or, you know, or no disrespect to Chris, because that's fucked up. And they not Chris Middleton because they not champions. They are, who do I want to say they are? I'm going to give you a bet, because Chris a champ, so kind of put some respect on cuz name. Who is a nigga who hooping, but he ain't quite, they all cat.
Okay.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
It's all, it's a ton of talent. You can look, you be like, man, that talent is nice, but it ain't quite, you know, transitioning to the NBA yet. It ain't, he, his will is not felt upon the NBA at the highest level. And to me, a lot of the rappers today, especially from our coast, their will ain't felt at the highest level. Their music is not going coast to coast hard enough. So I really got to get on the court and just compete with ghosts at this point, or legends. Like, I got to compete with 2001. I got to compete with the Blue Carpet Treatment of Doggy Style. I got to compete with the Shadiest One. I got to compete with Street Gospel. I got to compete with Lethal Injection. Excuse me, The Predator. I got to compete with Mac-10's, you know, debut album, self-titled. I got to compete with West Side Connection, Bow Down. I got to compete with the East Siders. You know, self-titled. Yeah. I have to compete with the best of the best. You know, fuck who on the court now, because if I'm competing with them, I'll blow all these niggas off the court anyway.
If you can only listen to one West Coast album for 7 years straight.
The Shadiest One, Dub C.
Damn! Give that man his flowers. I feel like people don't give him his flowers. That's what's up.
That album, man. That motherfucking album.
You're going to make me go back and listen to the album.
Nothing was... The only project that was as revealing to West Coast culture, you know, musically, I think it was the best one. Like, I think Dr. Dre and them and Snoop and them was able to do it visually. Like, you know, they really broadcasted and showcased the West Coast culture visually. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the lingo of the conversation. They was really MCs and really... for real dope in hip-hop.
Yeah.
But visually, they gave you the whole look. I think sonically, Dub, the lingo, the conversation, the attitude. You know, when you say the Shadiest One, you know, that shady mentality that niggas have on the West Side, and, you know, the words he was saying, talking about jagging people for Nissan trucks, and feel me? Like, I don't think you get more culturally listening to West Coast hip-hop than Dub C, the Shadiest One.
I'm about to go back and listen to that.
Fucking with a house party, when he rapping about going to a house party, and for me, because a broad wanted him to come outside and come to a party. He like, you know, nobody around. Maggie Cube and him gone, and it's just him. And he go to the party anyway, listen to the broad, talking about it's going to be security. Get there, and, you know, some niggas see him, and he know these niggas ain't no good. And they walk up, and they ask him, you know, what that stand for. And these niggas having cash. And it's like NAC, like, who the fuck talks about Neighborhood Crips in their music? You know, modern day, yes.
Yeah.
But at that time, who actually went to that depth with it? You know what I'm saying? And they punched him out, hold him up, don't let him fall. As a gamer, you know that's how I really go. Mm-hmm. Stressed out on the floor, getting fucked up. All I saw was knuckles, hammers, and the bottoms of niggas' chucks. Ooh. Bitches screaming, whoop that nigga ass for me. They teeing on my dome. Ain't no motherfucking sympathy. I grabbed my heat and got to bussing. Hit the back door, scot-free, Loken. And then dropped the Loke. Who did I see? Octavia. Pissy wet, drunk, on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he was a storyteller.
Yeah.
And CJ was so influential in that album, CJ Mack. But they, sonically, nobody did L.A. as well especially with what they were saying. Like, he talked like a L.A. nigga. Yeah. Like, that album, you know, Dre and them is really products of hip-hop. So, sonically, they're able to deliver and visually. But Dub popped that shit like a nigga from the coast. You know, Logan, you know, declaring NAC and you know, Hog. That's what we all want to be at that time. Everybody wanted to be a Hog. Like, nobody did it as great.
Okay.
The shadiest one. Mm-hmm. I listened to 7 years, like, that's Gucci. I'm gonna be good.
Yeah.
What I noticed when you dropped Tupac Must Die in 2019, you kind of went like on a hiatus for 2 years. You wasn't dropping no music after you dropped that single. Why is that?
So, it wasn't like Tupac Must Die was a test to see if I understood what marketing and hip hop was about.
Okay.
It wasn't like I was tripping. That good was when I start learning about records and what records were about, hit records and just songs that people can enjoy and feel. Like, when I was learning it, that good was me taking the test. Mm-hmm. I passed the test. Glass House 2 was me trying to figure out, did I understand hip-hop sonically? How is the break? How is this party? How festive it is? Glass House 2 was me taking that test. When I started to understand marketing and trying to implement everything else and understanding what marketing is about and why hip-hop was so powerful, you know, when it came to marketing, is that was that test.
Okay.
So they were all tests about me, what I've been learning over the last, you know, 9 or 10 years.
Okay.
When you dropped that Tupac Must Die, did you just cut your Twitter notification off because you knew it was coming?
Or was you just looking at every tweet?
You real big on Twitter. Is that like your favorite social media?
Yeah, because it's witty. Like, I don't take pictures.
Okay.
So Instagram, and I don't care, you know, for the most part, I don't care how these hoes look. So I'm not finna go over there and be, you know, I'm not finna go drool over no another nigga broad or some broad that Frankenstein that they put that shit together. Feel me? There's so many bras on Instagram that's put together. Feel me? They went and got put together. It's like seeing a Rag 59 that somebody converted. It wasn't a convertible at first and they put it together. It's like
the hood way too. They even get no professional.
Yeah. Even when it's professionally done, it's like, that ain't no real 59. So that's how I feel about the women. When I see Chloe or some women, I'm like, that ain't a real 59.
Yeah.
Feel me? That's not real. So Twitter, I like Twitter because of the wit. It's wit, it's witty. You know, I get to consistently be articulate. I consistently get to correct my grammar and, you know, grammatical errors. So I enjoy that still. That's what I fuck with.
At first, I thought that on Twitter, I thought you was a robot. I thought you had assistant because we would convert a lot, and you would be. We'll be talking. I'm like, is this really glasses?
Sure.
Like, do you do that to just randomly, like, okay, today I'm just going to talk to a supporter / fan or just...
I don't think I ever have that kind of arrogant take of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you on Twitter, people are supposed to talk to you. And the point of having Twitter is talking to them, you know? Now, every conversation, obviously, you can't get involved with and entertain, right? But for the most part, I use Twitter like the way Twitter's supposed to be used. I don't, you know, I got 100,000 followers. You got 10 followers. We gonna weigh everything off your tweet.
Yeah.
And that's just how I am.
Okay. Let's talk about your new album, Glass House Prequel, that drops in September. What made you name it Glass House Prequel?
So the project is a re-release of Glass House 1.
Okay.
And I just redid it. Like, I redid some stuff. I remixed certain songs, and I added new songs based off of my information. And as I start bringing songs, this is the first project, As I start bringing projects, this is the first one from my mixtape catalog to DSPs, to Spotify, Apple Tidal.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure I put respect on what hip-hop is about. So when people going back, you know, they'll be listening probably to Spotify for a long time. I want them to be able to go back through my catalog and hear what hip-hop should be versus what I thought it was at that time. Okay. So it's like, you know, taking a painting and being able to improve on the painting in modern day. Like if Leonardo da Vinci could come back and fix The Last Supper,
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be dope. I don't give a fuck how much people thought they liked it. They gonna like this better. So yeah. I called it the prequel because it's before Glass House 2, where I perfected it. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what I was thinking before I got to that.
Okay. You was explaining about the prequel, and you say, and I quote, "As the last true essence of the West Coast rap lineage, I want this project to connect the DNA, the history of the West. Six in the morning is the start with four decades of West Coast artists coming together and putting on for the culture." Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I want to work with the legends. I want to bring the legends, you know, together with today. You know, I feel like that's what it's going to take to truly establish the West Coast, because we haven't had a cultural shift. So it's hard to redefine a sound when it's culturally already represented.
Okay.
Gangsta rap and West Coast hip hop already has cultural representation at the highest level, sonically. You know a West Coast record, a gangsta rap record, when you hear one. So trying to redefine that is like trying to make a new brand of Jordans where you change the design. It's not going to be accepted. So I feel like to generate the power you need to move the earth again, you know, to kick it off its axis or get it turning again, is going to require all of us to come together. So bringing Ty Dolla $ign and Ice-T together is important. Bringing Corrupt and Game together is important. The new song, bringing Kid Ink, Exhibit, E-40 together on the song is important. You know, getting Kid Ink and Exhibit together, you know, all representing the West. You know, bringing Rafael Sadiq in on the project, doing stuff with Coolio, Cypress Hills, just, you know, just bringing the cult and the culture together to generate the power needed to spin the earth again for us.
Man, you got some hits.
Yeah, and Rafael Sadiq alone.
Man, what? For real.
But it's just like somewhere in hip hop, like, we tend to turn our back on the legends. And just now, I just got a call from Short about doing something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that. Like, the more I study hip hop and I learn about musicianship and what it's about, I embrace them 1,000 times more than I ever did before. Because I understand their value and I understand what they really mean. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I show them love, and I want to make sure that I get them involved and like, yo, like, you still as important as you ever was. And
give them their flowers.
You know, let me hook you up with somebody from today. Like, you know, having Kaylin and Rafael Sadiq to do a song would be amazing.
Ooh.
You know, just connecting the culture. You just should want to.
Now, you said you would never, like, sign an artist. But would you ever manage an artist, like an up-and-coming artist, to show them the game and the ropes?
I don't want to sign an artist, but I will. But really, my job at this point is to be of service. So whatever somebody need help with marketing, like the Giants, like the LA Giants for their label, that's what I'm here for. Folsom is more of a complete project, you know, top to bottom, organizing it, getting their records right. If I had to manage somebody, sure. I'm trying to manage somebody that's not from the West, that's from the Midwest right now. That's like a multifaceted artist. Her name is Ash Lowe. She's super, like, multifaceted. We talking about managing her. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever it take to help.
Okay.
You know, whatever it take. If I needed to, you know, shit. I mean, besides traveling and being a bad boy at some place, like, I'll do whatever it take to help the West kind of, you know, the different artists get to where they trying to go.
Glass House 2, the prequel, please.
That's Glass House 1.
Please, look at, will we be getting a songs for the females? More songs for the females?
No.
Oh, not one song, G. One song.
You trying to think of the song.
Oh, come on.
That good remix with Warren G is on there.
Okay, okay.
What else is on there? Not really. It's really raunchy. It's gangster rap. You know what I mean? It ain't a ton of... You know, I didn't tap in. Like, I got future projects. Yeah, I got some stuff.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, no.
The song Too Hood that I like, do you consider that a female type of...
Yeah, that's a real song. That's from a real place, too. Like, because at that time, girls was telling me I was too hood for them. Mm. And it's like, how everybody, how all the other rappers wanted to party with him and take him to Nobles or somewhere else. It's like, nah, we're going to go to Roscoe's on Manchester and Main. I'm going to take you where we really do it. We're going to go on a show. I'm going to be out here in this low ride. I'm going to show you, like, the real L.A. I won't, feel me? I'm going to show you the Black Country Club that we got. So, that's a real, that song's from a real place.
I think that should have been a single.
That project kind of was, that project is great. That's my favorite project I ever made. I don't know. I don't know if at that time, I think I wasn't even tripping.
Okay.
Like, I was just so busy just constructing records and perfecting what I had learned and delivering. And at that time, I still didn't understand marketing.
Okay.
So I kind of had to chalk that one up. But I love that project. Like, that might be the project I do listen to from me to this day.
Okay. Let's play a little game. It's called Fuck, Marry, and Kill.
Sure.
Yo-Yo, Michelle, Lady of Rage.
That's tricky. So, I would marry Robin.
Okay.
I marry Rage.
Okay.
I like Baby D. she's so smart. She's so talented. And she like my dog. Like, I look up to her.
Okay.
And she's a lady, you know what I mean? So, it's dope when a man look up to a woman besides his mom. Yeah. Like, I look up to her. Yo-Yo, obviously, growing up, like, she was the finest motherfucker walking the fucking West Coast. And Michelle, man, I just would kill her.
Damn!
Not like that. I love Michelle, but the way she smut and dock out, man, I cannot deal. Okay. I cannot deal. And, like, you know, the unsavory stuff, like talking to Suge after you left, just... so many unsavory things from her, and I'm sure her perspective matters, and I'm sure she has some legitimate reason why, but some of this shit, just come on. I watched her TV show, I was looking like, damn, she got my nigga looking crazy. And I'm sure my nigga was crazy, Dre was crazy in his heyday, but bro, let it go.
Yeah.
30 fucking years, 40 fucking years, you are... old pussy, you got a new man, this man got a new wife, feel me? Like, move on. So, she would definitely be the person that I would have to knock off if I was going to knock off one of those women. But definitely, Rage would be, that's really my partner. I love her to death. She's just awesome.
Name three places you would suggest for outer towners to go. One would be a food place. The second one, I know you don't like clubs, but a second one is a club, and a third place is to shop.
To shop. First place to eat. What screams LA? LA has the best Mexican food, so I will tell you to go to King Tacos because that's the most franchise place. Mm-hmm. Teddy's, the BDI truck.
Oh, yeah.
That would be where I really want to tell you to go, but I doubt you'll find it because it's a truck.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say King Tacos, right? Because Los Angeles has the best Mexican food in the world outside of Mexico itself. A place to party. Can it be the party? It got to be a club, okay? I would tell you to go to kind of where the GS moved to, which is the district.
Oh, okay.
I think they represent Los Angeles well. I love the fact that it's not too Hollywood, but it's not entirely too, you know, bottom of the barrel. So I would say go to the district on Crenshaw. And then once you walk outside of there, you'll be on Crenshaw on the stroll. You can see all the lowriders.
Yeah. Like,
everything is right there. So I would say go to the district to club or to party, you know, hang out. To shop, what's culturally L.A.? When you come, you're like, man, you get all the L.A. shit there. You know where I would tell you to go, and it's going to sound crazy? It's a place in Bellflower called Doughboys.
I never heard of it. I thought you was going to say Sloss and Swami.
No, hell no.
Oh, shit.
I'm from the West Side. I would never say Sloss. That's nip-nip shit. I'm on the West Side, nigga. I don't even go. I go to the Sloss and this shit when I'm just stuck on the West Side. I don't even think the Sloss is a real fucking swap meet. Fuck the Sloss. I mean, people be treating people bad as shit.
Facts.
Yeah, fuck the Sloss. I hate that raggedy ass place. I would, if I'm going to go to the marketplace or Plaza Mexico right there, right on, in, like in Linwood on the east side or somewhere like that. But I would say go to Doughboys and Bellflower. It's on, what street is it? Artesia. And they got some of the best surplus gear, you know, Dickies, like Ben Davis, Chucks, feel me, Romeo's. You know what? Either go to Doughboys. I'll go to Greenspans and Southgate.
Okay, I heard of
Greenspans and Southgate got all the G-ass shit, too.
I'm going to go because I never heard of it.
If you go to Greenspan, you're going to leave looking like the West culture for real. Feel me? And that's, to me, what is important. I would never tell no... Only thing I would tell you about the Slauson is get a Slauson sweatshirt from Nip. The Puma sweatshirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. The sweater is better than the fucking swap meet. Swap meet is bullshit. Fuck the sloth and swap meet. Yeah. I hate that raggedy ass. I ain't trying to call that shit a mall.
I'm sorry.
I'm thinking about it because they call that shit a mall. That shit ain't raggedy motherfuckers. Like, mistreat people. They be overcharged. Like,
yes.
Got them Fox Hills prices in this motherfucker. Yeah. That fake ass. I've
been there years.
And they be bootlegging my nigga Nip shit, man. Fuck the Slauson. Only thing I tell you to buy from the Slauson is the sweater. From
there.
Get the Slauson sweater. That sweater fine.
I go to the Mexican Plaza, I go to Gardena Swami. That's the only two, really.
Yeah. I go to Gardena sometimes.
Yeah.
You really be sliding in the city. Low key.
I'm an East Side nigga for real.
Yeah, you really.
Yeah.
You have a couple of mixtapes. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Crack mixtape 2003 you dropped.
Well, that was a Click mixtape. That was our first one we did together. Okay. That's not mine.
So, joint albums, I mean, mixtapes as well, too, then. What, White Lightning?
Yep, 2005. My first one.
DJ Ski and Dow Jones Presents The Electric Chair, 2007.
Yep.
Fuck Glasses Malone, 2008.
Yep.
DJ Craig Street and Glasses Malone Present.
Greg Street from
Greg,
Atlanta.
I'm sorry. Greg.
Legendary Atlanta DJ.
Yeah, that's why I say I'm sorry. That you dropped that 2009. Nightmare on 7th Street, you dropped that also in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Drive By Music, you dropped in 2010.
Yep.
The Dope Mixtape, 2011.
Yep.
Glass House, 2012.
Yep.
Ooh, this is the one. Al Pacino with Jay Hayes, 2016.
Oh, Appalachian.
Appalachian. There you go. Appalachian with Jay Hayes in 2016.
Sure.
Out of all of those I mentioned, what's your favorite and why?
Electric Chair.
Why is that?
Because I was the most optimistic about when I came into this business, I wanted to start a label. And that's when I really believed that I was going to have a chance. Mm-hmm. And that project represented my true vision coming into this business.
Okay.
K-Boy got this super nasty freestyle over this, over Been There, Done That, Been There, Done That, The Break. Certified is on that mixtape. I really was with my whole clique and crew, and I thought this is where we was going. So I was so optimistic about that. So that would be my favorite one. The Electric Chair with Ski and Dow.
Okay.
You did a joint album with Mac 10 called Money... It's called Money Music. Do you see yourself doing another joint album with Mac 10 or with somebody else?
I can't prime to do it. I would love to. But Mac got some money, man. Mac got too much money. Mm-hmm. He don't want to do no fucking rapping like that. You know what I'm saying? He going to do a little bit of rapping, but he too busy putting together Cadillac Lowrider Bronze with fucking Porsche money in it and shit.
He's starting to come out more now. I'm starting to see him more now. He got his Instagram.
He has a song that he's about to put out. Mm-hmm. I call it the King of California. I call it Only in California Part 2.
Okay.
He calls it the King of Chevys, but I like my title better for it. But it's super duper dope.
What's your favorite Mac 10 album?
The Recipe.
Everybody say that, and I say Paper Route. And people be like...
I understand why you said the Paper Route. But The Recipe just... I think he was starting to come into his own at that point, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was figuring it out, and I just love the energy of that record. The best one is not my favorite one. The best one is obviously the self-titled or West Side Connection, but my favorite would be Paper Route.
I also like Banger Ball. That's when he was with Cash Money.
And I like Banger Ball.
That's when he said he first got his Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre did.
Yeah, Hating Your Eyes. Yeah. Hating Your Eyes. That actually is a really underrated Mac 10 album.
It is.
And Manny Fresh did the fucking beat.
Yep.
For me, so it's some dope joints on there. That West Side Connection song is on there. Honey and like, Shots and No Hold.
Yeah.
That was my shit.
Butch Cassidy killed that shit. This is the way us gangsters roll. Yeah, that song's fire. So yeah, that, you know what?
Do the Damn Thing was on there.
Do the Damn Thing was hard.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that, that video album, was hard.
Yeah, I'm finna listen to that today.
Yeah.
We gonna listen to it while we talk.
Do the Damn
Thing. He was in the low ride in the video with the hair. Yeah, that was like real West Coast.
And low key, Banger Ball is like a super underrated Mac 10 album. I'm definitely gonna jam that one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my second favorite for sure.